Hi, I'm Peachy.
Hello, I'm Patrick, and we have a guest today. And if you'll allow me to introduce you in a really over-the-top, dramatised, pretentious way, I've got a little something planned. So imagine, dear viewers, you are a very naive young boy, and sadly, your parents are divorced. You've never met your dad. And in this family, it's quite strict. It's very prestigious. Or you believe that because you're told that. And then one day, out of the blue, nobody ever talks about your dad. And you're like, don't think about him. Don't know who he is. And then one day, your mum comes along and says, if you ever see me with your dad, that will not benefit your career. Or, no, your family. and it will affect your standing in the family. And you're like, oh, who is my dad? Oh, it's this guy. It's Rob, the Honest War Gamer, everyone.
Pans out, he's quite cool. He's a cool dad.
I actually don't know my dad, so this is a great intro. This is great, yeah. I don't know that reference, but exciting.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah.
Thanks for having me. I super appreciate it.
So thanks for coming along. It's been a long time coming. Always want to chat to you. Always like a good chin waggle with Rob.
Thank you.
Rob Symes of Honest War Gamer. If you didn't know, by that face.
Ron is the, another name I go by.
The gaming content creator who makes the best painting videos.
apparently so. Yeah, better than ours. I mean, what's that about?
Saddest moment in my life. I was in the Netherlands with my friend Owen. We were covering a team tournament, four tables of Warhammer, all of them mixed into this, into our like main desk with graphics that pop up and great audio and we can draw on the screen and everything. And we've flown over to the Netherlands and my friend Owen sits down and he looks it all and he goes, wow, you've done a lot this time. I'm like, I have. And he goes, crazy, people just know you for painting. And I'm like, heartbreaking. I didn't recover. I sometimes still go to bed just thinking of that one line.
Yeah,
even now.
Oh, it just haunts you to the day.
It haunts me to this day.
We should lead into the slap chop thing because you did it. I think it was
You did it.
So I watched
victim blaming. You brought this on yourself.
Yeah, this is your fault. So
you gave a name to a thing that.
So I didn't even give a name to the thing. So like, I'm sure we'll get into it. But I stream a lot.
Yeah,
streamed a lot during lockdown. Me and my chat, which I consider to be my community. Like you guys, I know I've got a Patreon.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah.
That's like a big part of your community. But for me, it's the chat. Yeah. And anyone can walk into that at any time. And I have the ability to go on a tangent quite comfortably. Hmm. Here we are.
Yeah.
And I'm here for it. And we were just talking about it. I talked about the fact I'd learned how to paint in this particular way.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, we just decided to call it the Slap Chop because we'd become obsessed with the Slap Chop paint, the Slap Chop infomercial.
Because
we were watching it on stream one day because it's a bit like how shuriken cannons work for Eldar. You know how they slice off a bit and fire it like a disc? Yeah. It's a bit like a Slap Chop.
Yeah.
So we were talking about that, and then we were talking about the paint, and then that's where it came from. So it wasn't even me, and it was stolen from an infomercial on purpose.
Yeah.
So there was no clever naming.
But what you've done, I mean, it's something I've been doing for years anyway, which is I've done with like a few paint guides where I just spray colour, give it a bit of an overbrush, then use like contrast or washes and then or like thin down paints, and it kind of highlights it for you, and then you can go wherever you want with it. But describing that is a nightmare. But when you suddenly like have like a thing with a clicky name and just go Slap Chop, because where was non-metallic metal before it became NMM? Where was Xenophil Highlights before it became Xenophil Highlights?
Yeah.
So regardless of whether out there there's people going to be going, Slap Chop, I hate it. It's an army painting technique. It's been around for hundreds of years. It'd be like,
generations.
Who cares? Explain that to someone in like a second.
Yes.
You can't. Yeah. Say Slap Chop, people are like, oh yeah, I know what you mean.
Well, it's actually interesting. One of the first things we did when I set up the Honest War Gamer is we went back through like a lot of the terminology people use for gaming.
Mm.
So in fact, actually just a video script I'm writing today is about like list archetypes and unit roles.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like stupid words that get used, like cheesy and beardy and like a bunch of other stuff.
Yes,
and a lot of it are words that people have picked up to really like talk about a feeling.
Yeah.
Versus something that's actually like informative. And obviously you guys obviously make tutorials, like information is important, but also the words that we use are vital and important as well. Again, that wasn't really the point of the video. The point of the video was it's an ironic Juvenilian slap chop, like sorry, like painting tutorial. Yeah, it's, yeah. Like everything in it is dumb. Like yeah. I'm like brushing on my hand, and I'm so, like I get the words wrong on purpose.
Yeah, yeah, because you go you meet a master at turkey, don't you, or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Also, someone showed me. I didn't even know. How, like, it's not like I read it. Someone just showed my partner showed me how to do it, yeah. And I was like, oh, because I hate painting. Yeah. So she's yeah. like, do this. You're an idiot.
Because I knowing that you were coming on today, I rewatched the video and picked up on. I remember watching it previously going, that's a great video. Monks in Turkey, brilliant. Obviously not serious. Mm-hmm. But then you mispronouncing the paint names and all that sort of stuff. It's just cracked me up. It was such a great... I had a great time.
Yeah, oh, good.
And you're like sipping the coffee and the camera just zooms in so like obtusely close.
It's one of the videos I've worked hard. It's not the hardest. That's not true at all. But like it was meant to be like... reference laden,
yeah,
which I think why it resonated. But I learned a lot from that actually as a video, because for people who are like really really good painters, or even if you're just like a paint enthusiast, you quite clearly know that that's something that already existed, yeah, or yeah. like maybe whatever, but yeah. I don't know about you, I'm fairly resistant to learning how to paint.
Yeah,
like just obviously neither of you are, but like some people are very resistant to learn how to game.
Yeah, yeah.
And I kind of like butt my head against this quite a lot, you yeah. know. They're like I'm more of a casual player. I'm like, okay, cool, you don't know the rules. And they're like, no, I enjoy it. I'm like, I also enjoy it, but I know what the rules are. Like, you know, there's this kind of like odd like kind of divorcing of like being able to have fun but also understand it well. Like, yeah, I'm sure you can paint very well and enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
cool. But if I just said I was a casual painter and it yeah. was just atrocious,
yeah,
you'd be like, well, you don't really know what you're doing. And so I learned a lot from that video, because it made me take a step back and say to myself, you probably, you know, I mean, I was going to say, like, there's like the Angel Garaudez of painting, but he did a slapshot video.
I saw
the artwork. I don't even know what to say. It was like Juan Hidalgo, Angel Garaudez. They're all like, let's do some slapshot.
I mean, this is what phase of the slapshot cinematic universe are we in now?
Oh, we're currently in the Spanish phase. Because yeah. I think this is expansion 4, which
yeah,
I'm,
yeah.
with every new, and also the problem is every new speed paint,
yes,
contrast paint,
yeah.
will always propagate it
yeah.
further.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't want that to be true. Like, I don't know.
Do you think it's like, you know, you've made this thing, it was yours until you hit live, and then it's just out there in the wild and it has to fend for itself, and everybody, like, one thing I sort of think was, because you packaged this video so incredibly well.
One thing you'll notice is Pat loves how videos are packaged.
Oh, me and Pat editing all day, no problem. No problem all day. If you want to just go to the cinema, Pat, and just throw popcorn at the screen at every bad edit, yeah, I'm in.
Oh no, I just like throw loads at my own videos.
me too.
Is I think what you managed to do with that video was package something so well that I think, you know, part of the reason of our success is well, I mean, you know, since Peachy joined, Peachy's success, he makes approachable painting videos.
Yeah.
Where we're like, hey, you know, you might have a really demanding job and a family and relationships and a social life. And it's like, well, I want to have a game next weekend and I've got this amount of time. I can't do heavy metal painting for every single miniature. Here's how you can get stuff done pretty quick.
Yeah.
Whereas I think a lot of your YouTubers, they'll paint one model per video, which will be really, really good, and almost as sort of like, you're like, oh well, I watch the videos because I enjoy them, but I could never do that. I watch Slapshot and I'm like, I think anyone could watch Slapshot and be like,
yeah,
I could do that.
Yeah.
And it was so successful, deservedly so.
Yeah.
And
unintentionally so.
But good.
And then I think it from like the opinion that I formed of it is, with it all going a bit mental and people going like, oh, it's just like somebody commented in one of our videos, it's like, I like this video because you don't say Slapshot once, is because like you didn't blow it out of proportion, you made a great video. I think a lot of the other YouTubers that were like, hey, that's getting loads of views, I want my chunk of that.
Yeah, yeah.
And because it was trending.
Well, I think like as creators ourselves, as a group, like everyone always just like informs from each other, and yeah. I think that's fair. Like, I don't think anyone blew it out of proportion. I think it just resonated.
Yeah,
and that's kind of the point. Yeah. Like when I got shown how to do it, I just like went in, got all of my other paints. Yeah. I was like, these go in the bin now. Like, I was like, why didn't someone show me how to do this 8 years ago?
Yeah.
Like that, like it resonated with me and therefore it resonated with people.
Yeah.
And like, so I don't necessarily think anyone's to blame or even like to praise. And the bit I was trying to get to was that I had to learn. Like, because then when I looked at gaming, because I looked at all the responses and the criticisms, I think it's always super, super healthy to look at criticism.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I looked at the criticisms and I took on board what I thought was valid. And the bit that I thought was valid, I was like, do you know what? You're probably an egotist about, like, gaming. Like, it was really valuable for me, not because it was successful, not because more people got to know me as a creator.
Yeah.
It's because it got to teach me something as a creator. And that is, there are lots of people who are busy at work.
Yeah,
like I know you've just started doing Necromunda. I do like a Necromunda kind of like show with my like the chat like once a week, and every week we're like, who plays this? It's 1,000 pages long of the most crunchy, outdated, difficult to find rules.
Oh, don't
available
get me.
To available to
don't get me started.
Yeah, exactly. Right, and I'm like, why does this exist?
Yeah.
Whereas if you play things like Legion,
yeah,
which I know you play, MCP stuff like that, like they understand more the barriers for people to play games.
Yeah,
and I think for a long time, as especially doing it professionally, I was like, well, you haven't got time to read 12 40k codexes. Come on. But like, that's the thing it taught me. It taught me to step back for myself and say, do you know what? A lot of people need stuff that's simpler and easier to achieve.
Yeah.
And it's just as worthwhile. Because when I paint a mini, like, I see some people's minis and I'm like, that is beautiful. And then I carry on just dry brushing my ugly ass mini and I'm the happiest little soldier you can find.
I mean, from my point of view, it is like Marmite. No matter what you do out there, someone's going to dislike. For whatever, and we've found this with some of the videos that we've done, like our shorts, like some of our long form videos. We take short elements of it,
okay,
and the shorts are quite fast paced parts of that video. So, like a breacher, the breacher is a really interesting one because the long form video makes sense because it's going through like that section of the Interdark box set. But when it's on its own out there on TikTok and YouTube Shorts, and it's just showing you applying bar red quite messily onto a white undercoat, then a bit of blue quite messily onto a white undercoat, then a bit of black. But if you have a bit of chance to, you know, not just give it a minute and wait, it all ties very nice and neatly at the end.
Yes.
Because there's all that little bit of tying up at the end. But there's a lot of short attention spans out there that just go, oh, utter rubbish. Utter rubbish. How did you even get a job?
No, yeah, you need to check yourself, Peachy. It was utter rubbish.
I didn't want to say anything.
Oh, fair. That's fair. I'll console myself with a biscuit. But yeah, so I mean, you know, there was a lot of criticism coming to us, wasn't there? And it was like, you're not very good at painting. You're a bit rubbish. And like you say, you look at those and you see some validations in it. Like, why is it rubbish? And this person explains, it's like, well, actually, they've not got the idea of it. They're watching it from a short point of view. Yeah. How do we pitch our shorts?
I think reading criticisms is like the audio when we first started this podcast wasn't amazing. When enough people say something, like, right, I need to think about this. And then we have these microphones and then these like boom arms and so on and so forth. It's like a continual,
always improving
process.
It's iterative. Like it needs to be. I was watching a video earlier on about like creativity and your creativity needs to be iterative. Like you don't just paint the first time and be like, now this is how I paint.
Yeah.
And like you guys are creators, like that's the purpose of what we do is to iterate and try and move on and work out what you've done and what you want to do. I like, it's one of the things I enjoy most. Like when I left Games Workshop, I was like, I want to do this. And then weirdly, 5 years later, I've just this year started to do that stuff again. But over those 5 years, I've iterated a lot, done a load of different things. And like, that's something we have to do. Like, because it's also really healthy to do that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You grow.
Yeah.
Like, it's valuable, like, to you as a person. And being wrong, again, something early on in the year to myself, I was just kind of like looking at some work I'd done. I was like, this is just bad. Like, you're just wrong.
Yeah.
And being wrong is really healthy.
Yeah.
Like, because then you can be right one day.
Yeah.
Every day.
I'm wrong every day. I'm married.
Oh, dear. I was chatting to someone recently.
Sorry, darling.
Hello.
She watches. Okay. I'm dead.
You can edit it. Pat could edit it out and
save
your life.
It could say DACA. He won't, though. He won't.
I mean, do you want me to?
No. Because then she'll know something's awry. Because we're carrying on.
Someone would just be like, I enjoyed that chat with Rob, but when he just went, heresy, DACA, for like 5 minutes straight, I turned off.
Wasn't keen.
Yeah. I was chatting to my sister ages ago. About how I look back at myself, like, you know, when I was a teenager, when I was in my 20s, and I was like, I just cringe. I was such a knob and just, all these decisions and what I thought was right. And it's like, well, you're supposed to do that because it shows that that you've grown.
Yeah.
And doing that creatively as well. Like, I want to look back at some of the videos we made and the content that we make and how we present it. I'd prefer that. To be, if I look back and I went, I was so good back then, like, that means that we've gotten worse.
Yeah.
I mean, if random segue from that, I mean, if I had a kid 10 years ago, 12 years ago, I'd have been a crap father. Utter crap. Because I'd just be like, shut up, stop whinging, rub some dirt in it. You got, like my gran would say, you know, you fall over, you hit your knee, you'll be like, you got another one, be fine. That kind of stuff. I'd probably like, because I was young, naive, not really interested in having kids. You just wouldn't, I wouldn't be a great father. But as you get older, you kind of mellow a bit, you chill out a bit.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, come here.
I know, you're a good person, though. Like, you would have found your way with it.
Maybe.
You are a good person. Don't let him.
I don't know.
He's a great person.
Yeah, sure.
He's a great person. That's true. A story I can tell is I was going through a disciplinary at Games Workshop. I don't even know if it was a disciplinary.
I think it was.
It might have been.
Yeah, I think it was.
And one of the lovely things Peachy did was, and didn't work in my department, worked side to my department, he took me for a walk around the lake,
we could call it
the canal is what it was. Yeah. And Peachy, like, out of his time, we knew each other well, but we weren't I wouldn't say we were friends necessarily, like, we just knew each other, and you just took the time out of your day to, like, talk to this big tall angry man about, like, things that were upsetting him, and I think justly upsetting me, but were upsetting me, and I've always thought, what an incredibly nice person. So I've, anyone's ever said anything to me, but I'm like, nice guy. Nice guy.
That's very kind. Like, very,
well, it's just very nice, kind of you. So I get the opportunity to tell everyone that he's a wonderful person. So, which is now going to make him feel really bad.
I feel really awkward.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. So there's my story.
My boss will be like, so that's why you took my old boss, not you. I'm still in the wee mode. I can't get rid of it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's 20 years, man. It's 20 years of just, like, institutionalization.
Yeah. You're like the kid that just, like, legged it across the North Korean border. Yeah. Aren't you? Yeah. He's like getting up at six o'clock ready to, like, pray to the leader, and you're like, no, you can just sleep now. Everything's fine.
I did say, I was like, he was like, I can't remember what model it was that you were painting. And you were like, oh, it's so much easier if I could turn the model upside down to paint the eye. And I was like, Peachy, I'm not stopping you. Turn it upside down.
Because you weren't allowed to.
You weren't allowed to turn a model upside down.
Well, it just looked rubbish on camera, apparently.
And, it doesn't.
According to who? All the people who never used cameras before.
Or paint models professionally.
That's the thing. Like, if you want to offer advice to people, you'd be like, hey, if you're struggling with this, turn it upside down. It's easier. Like,
so I guess nicely segued there. Well, in my head.
Into what?
Congratulations.
So, I mean, you did a lot of stuff for Life.
Games Workshop.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
And then obviously you went off and became Rob, the Honest Wargamer.
I did.
For reasons we can go into if you want to. I don't mind.
I can give you the TLDR.
Because I certainly feel that when I left, the strings have been cut and I was able to be more myself and talk more about what I wanted to do and be more honest about how I wanted to show painting. Mm-hmm. Obviously you got the word honest in your title. Mm-hmm. Do you think that had an effect on when you were constrained to do certain things when you were at workshop that you could, I really want to say this and I really want to do that, but I can't because it might not.
Not really.
Hence the list of disciplinaries get higher.
Well, I'd like it to be clear, I quit. No, I would say no, because I was a professional.
Yeah.
Like, I was 31, I think, when I joined Games Workshop. I'm not like a child. No. Like, I understood, like, I was working for a company and I understood that there were lines. I sometimes would think that those lines were very broad and unnecessary, and in some cases they were not applied to the same people. Mm. In the set, like, some people could just get away with doing literally anything.
Yeah.
And then some people were incredibly scrutinized. It really depended on if, because really, what they, their, your behavior was used to browbeat you.
Yeah.
Like, they were like, we don't like you, or we want to get rid of you, or any of those other things. Your behavior, in my experience, obviously, your behavior was used to browbeat you, as opposed to like, well, he's just like a, the good one.
Yeah.
You know, or the one who's just brown-nosed.
The quiet one that does as he's told.
No, it's not even that. Like, some people would act, like, some people are just active sycophants. Like, that's, I just don't think, like, you can like people and not like people, that's fine. Like, but you can be a professional. Like, I can not like someone and work with them.
Yeah.
That's what, that's literally what professionalism means.
Yeah.
Like, that's super okay. Like, someone could be like, I don't really like you. I'm like, that's cool, but we've got to do this thing together. Yeah. They'll be like, fine. Like, it doesn't upset me because I'm an adult. Like, it seems really simple.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
yeah.
Like, because I'd come from the nightclub industry. So I'd worked in nightclubs as a nightclub promoter for maybe at that point like a decade, maybe more, and before that I'd been a doorman, which the chat are gonna love knowing that I brought that up again. I'd like to swear right now, but I'm not going to, but chat, I hate you. And that's like it's simultaneously like a very childish industry because you've got a lot of young people in it, but also it's a very professional industry because if you mess up with a nightclub, like, you go to jail. Like you have to follow fire laws, like licensing laws, you're dealing with like a lot of violence. Like, it's a very professional work environment.
Really drunk people.
Drunk people. Yeah, yeah. So you get to work at Workshop where it's, in my personal opinion, full of children, like in the environment is very childish, like quite a divorcing environment for me. And I struggled because I was like, this is very, very difficult. So when I left, I didn't really do anything other than just be myself again. Because at Workshop, I was like, it's my job to help this company. That's what they're paying me to do. So I never really struggled with it. I just struggled with the internal environment.
Yeah. Like, it's really interesting because I remember when I joined the studio, there was a couple of folks that kind of like had been there like a few weeks or like joined a few weeks after that were still quite new. There were externals that weren't like hobbyists or anything like that. And they were very professional at graphic design or very professional at photography. And they had obviously been in bigger industries. And they'd questioned so much and got told to shut up because this is the way it's always been. It's like, stop questioning the status quo. This is why we always shoot on cyan to white fade. This is why we always have this box in this top corner. This is why we always... And it's like, why? Why also, do you always have it in that top
And it's
corner?
Also like the exact opposite of the thing we just talked about as being creators, which is the iterative process. Like, art, creativity should intentionally be challenging
so
you can get to a better place. So like it was a weird place, a weird time. So I know when I left was a really, like, it was a really difficult time for me because I'd given up like one of the jobs that I did to go and work at Workshop. And I left like fairly quickly. I spent like 3 or 4 months like setting up the studio and stuff, and then it was a tough time at the start because I was also carrying a lot of baggage because ultimately I really, really wanted, very much like I'm sure you did, I really wanted to just make stuff about Warhammer and make videos because two things I like doing, making videos and Warhammer. Like, it was really easy to be like, do you want to be an editor at Games Workshop? I'm like, yeah, seems easy. Yeah, it seems like that's an okay job to do. So that was a real struggle for me. So when I left, that was a challenging time. And I carried a lot of like... personal baggage with me, I think, because I found it very unfair. Found it really unfair, the environment, the way people acted and behaved. I thought that was really negative. And that's probably just true. And also because I'd worked for myself before.
Yeah.
So it's just weird going to an environment where you had little power.
I was the same. I'd been self-employed with my own videography business, shooting weddings, as I'm sure some of our listeners already know. That all disappeared during COVID. So I worked at Sainsbury's for a little bit and then got the job at Games Workshop.
I can put my finger on what you refer to like childish behaviours. And from my experience, a lot of the ones that as a professional I'd work with and work well with, but wouldn't probably go out and drink with and socialise with, their only job had been Games Workshop since the day they left school or uni. Whereas I'd been in other crappy jobs, like working on a trout farm for summer jobs for a bit of cash, or working in retail, or doing this job, doing that job, cleaning blooming hotel rooms with my mum and getting like poo all on your hand because a towel has been used to wipe someone's bum as opposed to tissue paper and stuff like that.
Wow.
So, you know, you get a bit of an idea of like, the world's a bit rubbish out there. But there's a lot of the weird behaviours certainly are, I think, were people that it was their first and only ever job. So they've got no context to reality.
And also people just come into the hobby, come into the business, like Pat, they go, oh, we should do this. And then they're like, get out. And like, I guess I'll get out. Like, so it just doesn't really work.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I got a question I wanted to ask you, actually, because that's just something I don't really know, because you've been there a while.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I was there, I was a bit of a storm in a teacup. Like, yeah, I set up Warhammer Live.
But I love working on you on Warhammer Live.
I would love to talk about that as well, because there was a really fun thing we did ties into your Necromunda campaign. But like, when I first walked in, like, what was the experience? Because I imagine you must have been like, that is a tall idiot, I hate that guy. Like, because I'm loud, like, I like, and I'm big, and I'm you must have been like,
no, not really. I mean,
not to swear.
So, I mean, I was in Books and Box Games at the time, and I was the painter manager, and that's when Live really started kicking off. And then we did the little five-part campaign where I used
fantastic
my Age of Sigma, Cities of Sigma stuff, which wasn't Cities of Sigma at the time. I just made up my own faction.
It was so cool. Pat, do you know about this?
No.
So what happened was, so when I set up the live schedule, and I can now reveal a secret, which is fun. So when I set up the live schedule, it always worked. It was like 3 till 7 on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And then like Wednesday was Age of Sigmar, Thursday was just like interviews, and then Friday was 40K. And then it was like the first game, so we did 2 games a day. The first game was, and this has all come off the back of being told to set up a battle report, the quick TLDR. I get hired to make video content as gaming.
Yeah.
Make a bunch of other stuff, make a bunch of like docu stuff, like, so like Forge World open days. So like I would film it for the whole day, shoot it and get it up that day.
Yep.
Like really quick, really fast. I mean, they were like 18-hour days, but like stuff I really enjoyed and I thought as a business really, really valuable, because people would see, like, you know, there's a really great interview of when like the Proferon got released, and like I've got Alan Bly talking about how exciting it is. And like that's stuff that, like, unless they like scheduled in some sort of interview, you didn't really get.
Yeah.
And it's just freely available at the open days. Just hire a video idiot and go get the content. It's, yeah. it's right there. Like, so I was like, anyway. So the first thing, like, do battle reports. And I did one. And then I was like, you just don't have the resources to do a battle report. It's loads of people. It's loads of time. You don't have the armies. You don't have the terrain. You don't have the game knowledge. You have nothing available to do. And they were like, but do it. And I was like, okay.
And what year was that?
So 2000. So how long have I left now? At least 6 years. So I think it would have been like 2015.
Yeah, 15, 16, because Charlie was born 17. That's when I moved over to Warhammer TV, and it was before then. So
okay,
yeah.
So
yeah.
2015.
So nothing's changed.
And you have to also remember that I had to bring my own camera equipment. So I wasn't even being, they were like, we have this one camera. And I'm like, all right, so I just got my deal, because I was shooting wedding videos and stuff at the time. I just went and got my own cameras from home, my own tripods, everything, which I'm sure is probably against some sort of law. I don't really know. Not that I cared, because I just wanted to make a good video. I didn't care. And so we shot the first couple, and I was like, you just don't have the time. Like, I was like, you think, and again, people who don't make videos, they don't know how long it takes to film, how long it takes to edit. Like, none of these things. They have no assets available and equipment. And so I was like, we should just do this live, because I'd already attended lots of tournaments. So if you've got everything available, very much like an event, you have people who've turned up with their armies, they know how to play.
Yeah.
You can do 5 of them and you can do it live. So I was like, let's just do that. And then I had to make a business case, and I talked to the CFO, and it was like a lot for, like, hello, I'm a video editor. Like, it was
that
like,
is, yeah.
So, I mean, I effectively built a new business inside Games Workshop, and like the first couple of months, like we had like 10,000 subscribers, so like as in paid subscribers, or it might not have been that high, but I seem to remember making like $10,000 to $20,000 a month.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's already paid for me.
Yeah.
Paid for Dan, who I later hired, and then it's paid for. Like eventually we tried to hire an editor, and then we hired this moron, name rhymes with that, and then a scheduler, but that's a long story.
Sorry, it's clicked.
That's good though, that was a good joke.
It,
right?
It was very, I was thinking editor,
everyone else will know what that means. Anyway,
see, I'm in the camp that don't, and I don't want you to explain
it. No, not good.
It works really well, he'll watch it. It hurts. And
wow. I'm a part of this.
Just don't be abusive in your workplace and people won't say mean things about you. It's like the easiest thing to ever do in your life. Just don't be mean and people won't say mean things about you. It's like, it's cause and effect. Anyway, I shouldn't have done that. We are where we are.
We can bleep the name out.
Yeah, it's fine. No, I said a different... Anyway. But the so when it came around to doing... And this was amazing. Again, another shout out to Peachy, fantastic human. So then I set up this schedule. I've talked a lot now, I'm sorry.
No,
that's
Wednesday,
why you're
Thursday,
here.
Friday. And the Wednesday game was a narrative game because that's very important to Games Workshop.
Yeah.
If you've engaged with me before, I definitely create like a competitive tournament-based content. That's something that I do and I'm passionate about. It means a lot to me. But it doesn't mean that the narrative aspect of the hobby is something that I'm devoid from. I've read loads of the Horus Heresy. I've read loads of background books. I like the lore. It's important to me as well. And it creates the game for me as much as the mechanics do. So I was like, let's do a narrative game and then a competitive game in the evening. So that's what we did Monday, Thursday, Friday. And then Peachy, and this is awesome. So I like reached out to people and I was like, which one of these chuckles knows how to play Warhammer?
Not me.
I was like, I just got my mates in to play like the competitive games.
Yeah,
I was like,
smart move.
Yeah, and early doors, I got people like Tabletop Tactics to come on and like,
oh wow,
this is huge. Like Lawrence, like remember sitting with him, he was like, thanks for getting me on. I was like, bro, you make great content. Just play a game of Warhammer. Let me talk about your channel. It's fine.
God, that kind of promotion just doesn't really exist anymore.
No, I don't think so. Because when we I think after lockdown, it's just not any of that.
Yeah,
no more.
Well,
games.
They pretty much stopped that as a schedule. We only did that for like 3 months.
Yeah,
and then we were making loads of money. But me and Dan were working like 18-hour days. Like we were knackered.
Yeah.
So like we were like, we're making loads of money. Can we have a scheduler, please? And then they hired like a manager. And then the manager's first day on the job was like, I don't really like you, so I'm going to find a way to make you redundant. And I was like, bro, I've been like a year.
Yeah.
That's mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was like, and I recorded it all, just FYI. So like, always record your interviews.
Hey. Yeah.
This is what I've always
It was Jeff, who sadly isn't here today. He's not dead. But I don't know why I said that.
Wow. Tragically taken from us by his schedule.
He's currently being a barbarian.
Yeah, we're not recording this on a Monday. Spoilers. So yeah. Jeff was unfortunately not available. He said before I went in, Games Workshop is the kind of place where I've heard this rumor, you want to record all of your meetings because you'll be dragged into an office and, you know, stuff will happen. And I did do it, apart from the first time when they were just like, oh, we've got a videographer's meeting and some stuff went on in there. And I was like, oh, I wish I recorded that.
Yeah.
And the like, my wedding video business got busier again, but... it was kind of like a toss-up between would I stay, would I go? And then that meeting happened, and it was like, no, I'm going. Yeah. Crazy.
But I told you we'd do this. I told you.
Yeah.
But finish it off real quickly. Narrative, super important. Peachy, I was like, Peachy, will you come and play? And then Rob, lovely Rob, he works in Forge World now. I think he does stuff for Necromunda, maybe?
I can't remember now. But yeah, Pink
I
Rob,
think
yeah.
He does, but he's great. Like, and me saying that's probably bad for him. So
I'd never played him like at that him. Point. Never played him, didn't know what he never, was like.
So I played with him regularly on a Wednesday. Yeah. Like, he was just one of my gaming buddies. He's just a super sweet, kind individual. Yeah. Like, I love him to bits. Like, loves to play and loves everything about it. He's just a great guy. And so he came on, and then Peachy and Rob, week by week, and because Rob went to tournaments with him as well, Peachy and Rob, week by week, would tell this ongoing story. So there was like this bit where there was like Cities of Sigmar, but they weren't Cities of Sigmar at that point, played by Peachy. And then Rob was playing like vampires, and then there was like we'd set up like a castle board, and then like Peachy was like defending it, and then like Rob would come out, and they just parlayed, and like they didn't even play a game, they just parlayed. They were like, "It's over." I was like, "We'll see you in 3 hours." I was like, "What?" It was amazing, and then they were like, they were actually actively, and I guess we kind of played the role of the DM a little bit.
Yeah.
But then Peachy, because he's a fantastic hobbyist, and Rob, they would go away, and then they would like, so like one guy survived in a unit, if I remember right. And then and feel free to tell the story, but like one guy survived out of like a unit of like handgunners, halberdiers.
So that I had some what were called the comic chartists, which were a bunch of militia at the time.
Here we go, crack lore, love it.
Yeah. The comic chartists were the militia, and they fought against a zombie dragon and they killed it, but there was only one left.
Yeah, there's only one
left. So he went back to his mates back in the town as like, I'm the dragon slayer. So they then became the dragon slayers. I made a little banner with dragons on it and stuff like that. And
but then he eventually got killed in like one of the follow up episodes.
Yeah.
Like he got killed. One of those, and we were doing this all live, so it was like it was really engaging. And it was 2015, so I don't know when Critical Role started, but Maybe we did it first. And, but it was all live, and it was only thanks to, and I can't take any credit for it, but it was all thanks to Rob and Peachy, because they were so active. They were talking to each other, we're going to build this stuff.
Yeah.
But what was really exciting was it tied into a release, like, organically, where I think the leader ended up dying.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, but then when he died, he turned into the changeling from Zeech, but that was the first time anyone had seen that mini.
Yes,
it didn't exist. Yeah. So we literally got them, I can't remember what it's called, but the focus, we pull focus from him onto the changeling, and people were like, what? They lost their minds. But the changeling the whole time, and it was so exciting. Well, I felt it was exciting.
Yeah, I'm listening to you guys retell the story, and I'm like,
it was amazing.
I mean, I love watch it because I watched a couple back, and then there was like little stories of like characters. There was the Griffhound, which I called Archibald. Archibald, yeah. And then he got killed. Then there was Ghosty Bold.
Ghosty Bold, because Rob had the ghost version. Yeah, it was great.
Whatever you're doing, it must have been great because you're recounting a series of games from 6 years ago.
Like 8 years ago.
Yeah, it was a while back.
Insane.
Yeah, it was good fun. Yeah.
And interestingly, like, those elements are still on. Oh, no, I don't want to ruin it. I'll tell it. So they've never updated the emotes on the Warhammer Live.
Of course, yeah.
All they've ever done is remove the Rob emote and the Duncan emote.
Yeah.
That's all they've ever done.
Oh.
But, like, they have a lot of subscribers, so you can have a lot more emotes on Twitch. And I think one of them is still Archibald.
Yeah, Archibald's still there.
He's still there. And I'm sorry, I've just killed him.
Oh, well. He made it into that, what they're called. It's, there's the cartoons that they did, and there's the Age of Sigma cartoons.
Yes.
And Archibald made it into that.
He didn't.
He is, he's the Griffin.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
So he's become like lore and canon. Yeah. And it was a really exciting way to do Warhammer, basically.
The thing that made me laugh about Rob was because I'd finish a game, and what I found really fun about the game was the end game decided what the next game would be.
Yeah.
So if I lost, which might happen quite a lot, we'd be like, right, so I'm now going to defend this bit. These guys are dead, so I won't use those next week, but I'll use these new units that I've just built up. And then I'll be like, oh, I'm going to go and get a steam tank. And I'll be walking around, and as I go through Bugman's, Rob's like, good idea. Do you know what it does? I was like, not a clue.
He didn't have a single idea. I was like, that's so terrible, PG. That does not. He's like, oh no, I remember the exact line. I remember the exact line to this day. He walked, he said to me, he's like, the exact line is seared into my mind. He was walking through, and he was like, yeah, so Robert, I've decided I really need to I need something that's really, really survivable. And I'm like, all right, yeah. So he's like, so I've got a tank, because it's like got good guns and it's got good armor. And I'm like, do you know what ludonarrative dissonance is?
No.
So when it's written as it's a tank that shoots guns. Mm. So you're like, yes, that's good. But this is not a good, like, rules wise, no. It was not a tank, nor did it fire good guns. in the rules. So he's just like proudly like, yeah, I've got the solution. Yeah, it's this. And I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. You were so proud of it. He's like, I've cracked it. I've looked at the range and this is the answer. Like, it's not the answer.
And did you break his dreams, or did you?
No, I spoke to Rob. I was like, PC bought a steam tank, stop doing what you're doing. And Rob was like, thank you. Me. And again, kind of like a compliment to Rob is that, like, being like, compliment to you and a compliment to Rob, and where I think like sometimes the community divides unintentionally and unnecessarily, is that you approach the game in a way that's really lovely, in my opinion, and something that should be cultivated and should be given a room to be cultivated.
Like an idiot.
Fun. But Rob understood the mechanics very much I did, so his response was the same as mine. But Rob knows the game well enough, he's got enough system mastery, that what he said was, he's like, okay, cool, I can do other stuff around this. Play weaker, he can play wronger, for lack of a better word, to make the experience more engaging. And that's one of the things I really like about tournament gamers, competitive gamers, or people who know their rules well, is what they're doing is they're saying, well, I'm going to have really good system mastery so that I can play at a level that's... I run events in Nottingham, and we had a kid here who was over with his dad, and he was, 12. And he was really good, actually. I had to actually try really hard, but that's a different conversation. My friend Mark got beat by him. He's like, I'll beat by a 12-year-old. This is terrible. I was like, well, sucks to suck. but you know, you can take the pedal off. Or like when I'm playing new people, we had two new people at the event we ran the other weekend. And did I play one of them? I might play one of them. And you just don't try as hard.
Yeah.
But you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that's fun.
Yeah. I think the interesting thing as well is like Rob had more fun. You could see it generally in his eyes. He was like really enjoying the game.
Oh, yeah.
And every now and then you go, are you sure you want to do that? I'd be like, what would happen if I did? He was like, you'll probably lose really quickly. I was like, okay, well, I'm probably not going to do that then. Because we were doing it for entertaining purposes. Because there was no mics on the table. So you were just narrating. And we were just playing around and stuff like that. And we were having fun. You can hear us laughing and stuff like that. But Rob got a lot of it. I got a lot of it. I learned a bit, not much. I mean, the steam tank, when it did first turn up, just died. It's rubbish.
Do you know you can take 11 of them now in an army?
No, but that's great.
You shouldn't.
11.
11. Wow.
Amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I know even less about Age of Sigmar than I do 40K. Mm. And I know 40K has a rule of three, doesn't it? But Sigmar, not so much?
No, it doesn't. No, like Sigmar doesn't have a rule of three. It does have like some army building restrictions.
Yeah.
Like most game systems do. Like, and 40K is really like the rule of three was just like a wildly haphazard.
Yeah.
The idea of spam in tournament gaming, people vary on their opinion on it. Everyone's got like somewhere they feel, but
yeah,
like I kind of think that 11 steam tanks is cool.
Yeah,
you know, like a bunch of Rogue or Dawn tanks, whatever the new ones are called, not Leaving Rushes. I think they look ugly. Mm. No offense to anyone who loves them, but like, you know, those things are fun.
Yeah,
when you take a lot of them.
Yeah.
The problem is the game isn't really built in a way. Because you build a skew list, and then that's a problem.
Yeah.
That, like, generally it's not fun to play against. In some cases, not steam tanks, they're great to fun to play and beat up.
Yeah,
but yeah, it doesn't have that rule. But the rule of three for 40K is just, in my opinion, quite a lazy, haphazard, like, plaster over game design versus, like, useful.
Yeah.
Because why wouldn't you want, like, I'm trying to think of something you want to take a lot of.
So there was an orc vehicle list.
So that was really problematic for a long time. Yeah.
I remember watching the only 40K tournament final I've watched was, and I've talked about it before, me and Jeff had a good giggle. I think it was like LVO a couple of years ago. Mm. No, not LVO. The one in London.
LGT.
LGT, that's the one. And the two chaps playing in the final, and it kind of all came down to who got the first turn. And it was like AdMech and like Death Watch or something like that. And
oh, the one we streamed?
Did you stream that one?
Is it like, can you hear table audio?
They have table audio.
So that's, we streamed that. Yeah.
And,
So what happened was we'd streamed. I actually streamed the whole Age of Sigmar event, which was a Teams event.
Hmm.
So we covered 8 tables that weekend. I did 4 Age of Sigmar tables, 4 40K tables, and I just took all my equipment split in two.
Yeah.
And the 40K event was the biggest one of the year.
Yeah.
And the final was between, I think, what was it, Malik and Alex Harrison, unfortunately. And what happened was we started streaming, and then one of my commentators had like an epileptic fit. So I ran over, just turned everything off.
Yeah.
And then I just sat with him, and we kind of like, you know, like helped him for like a huge portion of the thing.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, like the guys finished their game and they were like, oh, Rob, like we're finished. I was like, cool, stop the recording. I was like, I'll just upload that.
Yeah.
But then everyone on the internet was like, this is the worst 40K I've ever heard.
Oh, it
was. I was like, well, that's what 40K sounds like. Like, what do you want?
I'd never, like, my, I've been limited to, like, well, not limited to, but like filming battle reports at Games Workshop. And that one, it ended with them going, someone won, and he went, good game. And then his response was, well, it wasn't, was it?
But the thing is that game, like, the game is never on the players. Like, I've read a lot of the comments on that. And a lot of it was like, these two are terrible, this is the worst ever. But like, and sure, their table presence isn't particularly good, and one of the players is a particular problem in the 40K community anyway. So I'm not a huge fan of that, and I think that there are loads of really great examples of tournament gamers, and it's a shame that that's the one that you've listened to, in my opinion.
Because
they are rare, but they, because this is quite an interesting element. So you know when you go play a game?
Yeah.
It's a fun experience, right?
It's meant to be,
Playing Necromunda was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a positive experience.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So why I think a lot of people really struggle with like that guy conversation is because they bring a negative. They're very rare, and I've been to not more tournaments than anyone, but a lot of tournaments. And they're very, very rare. but because it so detracts, like, it's not like your normal day where you're like, oh, my normal day, how was your day today? It's fine.
Yeah.
A game is like a positive. You go to the cinema for a positive. You go to the pub for a positive. Yeah, yeah. It's like a good thing. Like, if there's a bad person at the pub, you're going to talk about that later.
Yeah.
You're not going to say, I had a nice time at the pub, because, well, you might, but generally, do you know what I'm trying to say?
No, so I in my time, have attended a few tournaments, a few Lord of the Rings ones and a few, like, doubles and Warhammer Fantasy Battle at the time. And there was one GT I did. It was Lord of the Rings. I was on my own, singles GT, and played a few games. Had so much fun, because it's Lord of the Rings. Most of it is actually quite fun. The game system's quite nice as well, so you can make it overly complicated if you needed to, but it's quite bare bones kind of stuff. A bit like Necromunda, can be quite overcomplicated wherever the rules are, if you can find them. But there was this one guy I was playing, and I decided in the very, because I wasn't going to win the tournament, I wasn't going to come last, and I was playing this guy, and I think the first round, the first two turns, I was like, he's hard work, there's no emotion, we're not engaging, he's going to win anyway, and I'm feeling so negative right now, because his negative energy and the way he's playing just is actually really affecting me. And I was like, you win. And I just went, had a cup of tea, sat down, waited for the next game, and I felt great.
Yeah.
Because what would happen is that would have dragged on. I would have felt even more like, oh, just rolled on.
But what we're spending minutes on this conversation, but we're not spending minutes on the four other great games you had.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right? Like, that happens so much.
Yeah,
like, and it's true of, like, YouTube, like, rage algorithm stuff, right? Like, we focus on it a lot. My friend, I just made a video, and it's not a plug, but it's really worthwhile watching.
Do it.
About my friend Noah, who just won the Age of Sigmar LVO.
I watched some of that, yeah.
Okay, so five friends, like, he has this philosophy, five friends, not 5-0. But then he just won the biggest event in the world. Like, so he's like, I want to go to an event. It's what he said to his missus. He's like, I want to go to an event and make just five new friends. But then he also plays really hard and won the event.
Yeah.
Like, so
that's really cool. Yeah.
It's a wonderful little interview. Like, and again, got nothing to do with me other than I shot and edited it. And it really showcases that, like, we spend way too much time talking about those people and a lot less time talking about, that's why I spent so much time talking about Rob and you in that game. You two brought this incredible energy to the game and therefore had fun.
Yeah.
A lot of people do that.
Yeah.
Like, that's way more common than the other thing. Yeah. Like, I'm not talking like 50-60, I'm talking like 98%, 2%.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And it's something like, it's meant a lot to me watching people play games and enjoy themselves and or for myself.
Because the key is, it's a game, as you said. It's about, I mean, yes, there's some competitiveness, but the whole point of games is to enjoy.
It's just having fun.
Yeah.
My friend Joe Pagano, shout out to the Tough Cloud, says that the greatest trick or the greatest miracle Jesus ever had was having 12 friends at the age of 33. Like, she's just a great line, right? Like, and I'm lucky enough to say that I've got friends all over the world.
Yeah.
Because I play games.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And it's a wonderful experience. Like, really good. But that 40K game was awful. Yeah. Very insular.
Yeah. So, to get onto the topic of, because I was going through in preparation for having you on, just seeing how much content you produce.
Oh, yeah.
This isn't going to go anywhere bad. But obviously, you do all the live streaming, but we talked about you travel abroad and you stream all of these tournaments. Mm. So the Age of Sigmar Worlds,
World Championships.
Yeah.
Team Championships, sorry.
Yes, that was the one, the UK one. Talk me through how, what does it go, right, I'm going to stream this. What on earth do you have to do?
Great question, still don't know. Try really hard.
You're like, because I'm assuming you don't go out there on your own. You must have an army of mates that help you with all the kit.
Mm. Yeah. Like, there's a bunch of different stuff. So, do you want to talk about the World Championships in specifics?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Okay, all right. So, I mean, I probably have done maybe 50 or 60 live events now over the past few years, which is quite a lot.
Yeah.
I think I did like 20 in a year once. And you have to remember also, 2 years of that was nothing because of COVID.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although we streamed some like tabletop simulator games. So like tournaments, sorry.
Yeah.
So like, which was pretty fun. So what happened? How do you do it? First, you have an incredibly good group of people that will help you do anything.
Hmm.
So shout out to all of those people who they are because they're the best. And I'm really lucky that they want to help me with stuff. Then there's so much to break down, but like effectively you're just trying to, so it's eight tables, so it's teams of eight. If no one knows, the Age of Sigmar World Team Championships is teams of eight that represent their nation.
Yeah.
How they choose that is different. It depends. In Malta, it's just everyone at the shop, the one shop. Shout out to you, Ryan. In France, they have an entire federation with multi layers of voting, which is very French, right?
Brilliant. But,
like, it's very intense.
I can imagine, yeah. Crikey.
But then with things like Australia, it really just comes down to whoever can afford to go.
I was going to say, who can afford to fly over. Right.
And some of them are really well done. Some of them are done fairly nepotistically. Some of them are done, like, it all varies. But you end up with some national teams and they all turn up to, last year it was at Top Hotel Praha. Anyone who's watching, this is, do you know what the back rooms is?
No.
Okay, it's just, the you've seen The Shining.
Yes, yeah.
Looked like the place I would rather have been than the hotel I was in. Yeah, right? Like, but shout out to everyone in the Czech Republic. It was great. So Top Hotel Praha. So we got there. And then we have eight tables. So two teams of eight play against each other. They go through this thing called the pairing system, where, because you've got to work out who of the eight is playing the other eight.
Yeah.
It's a very complicated system using cards and using multiple different, like, it doesn't matter. So you pair them up and then you play. Cool. So now we've got eight games of Warhammer happening at the same time. So then we have to have a camera on every table. And we have two. We have one on the dice tray, one on the overhead.
Yeah.
I would love 15.
Yeah.
But I don't have that much money.
No. Yeah.
Because you're not just filming. Like I have, like, it doesn't matter what I have. But, like, it's taken me years to build up that much money and not really making a lot of money. I'm not that successful because, you know, when you create content, it's like lore videos, hobby videos. Do you want to play games? Like, it's right at the bottom. Right?
Really? It's an interesting, like, hierarchy of content and stuff. Yeah. Like, lore videos. Like, there's a chap called, is it Wes? Wes Hammer.
Most successful Warhammer content creator in the world.
Yes. Yeah.
Started last year.
Started last year. Really? Yeah. He started off on TikTok.
Yeah.
And I remember, and he's just like, he's got really cool hair. Envious. Yeah. And
has he?
He has very, I'll rephrase, he has very flamboyant hair.
He has hair.
Can we start talking about hair?
Sorry. Oh, this gets derailed so quick. And he does all these TikToks and he's like, oh, let me tell you about this Space Marine. Oh my God. And the TikToks got really popular and then he went onto YouTube and he's like, bam, most popular Warhammer YouTuber.
Wow.
Fantastic. Incredible. In the world.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's mad.
And there's a chap in Australia.
So I thought Age of Sigmar was pretty popular because he's like almost hitting the numbers.
He's half a mil, isn't he?
Yeah.
But he's not.
Wes Hammer's absolutely through the roof.
He's crazy. Yeah, so lore videos are crazy.
And
popular.
Shout out to him as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And then, but then, lore videos. And then you've got, like, you know, you've got like Lutin as well.
Yep.
And people like that. And then it's hobby, like you guys. And then it's just the real nerds at the bottom, just like grinding. Oh, he hits on a four. It's terrible. No one cares.
Because, well, I mean, battle reports. I mean, like Tabletop Tactics. They're very popular, aren't they?
And, they're really good. They're really good. Like, and I have no criticism ever of battle reports, other than like I don't. So, like, there's something really, really. So you know when you see someone paint well,
yeah,
there's something really cool about it, something like magical, right? They make something that's like artistic. So like when you see people playing games and having fun, which is what I think a lot of battle reports are, I think that the thing that you're engaging with is watching people have fun.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's fine. Like, that's valuable content because people like it. They pay for it, they subscribe to it, they like it. So I'm not dismissing it at all. For me, and at a very insular end of that spectrum, I really like it when I see people play games well, because there's kind of three tiers of being a gamer, and this is across most platforms, not Warhammer, just like computer games, anything. There's a beginner, like, makes mistakes, an intermediate doesn't make mistakes, and then a professional or an advanced person forces mistakes, right? And that's a real, like, easy thing to kind of. I like watching like advanced people play Warhammer because there's actually some real fun to it. Like, there's a lot of like mind games. It's kind of like, if you ever watched, like, I watched a lot of stuff before I prepared to do commentary. I watched like street chess, poker. Poker's quite interesting commentary wise. Like, there's some really interesting like other systems where people do commentary.
Yeah.
Because I did a lot of prep when I was at Games Workshop, because I was like, I'd like to do this well.
Yeah.
I don't really know how to do it. Oh, no training, not a surprise. And then, Have you been trained for anything? You've been trained for anything?
I was never trained to present, no.
Yeah, trained to paint?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, that was all. I brought that and learnt.
Okay,
paint.
Trained to schedule?
Nope.
Okay, were you trained to do anything ever?
I was trained to be a manager.
Okay, excellent. Sure. Okay, good. Good. But that you need least training for events to manage that out there.
Was that a retail manager?
That was a retail manager, and that training system, I would say, was quite a robust and made lots of good managers. But
and doesn't exist anymore?
Does not exist for the last 10 years.
Oh,
I think it's been a long time since I ever saw anyone pass the squad leader course. Let's put it that way. Oof. Used to call it so.
Squad leader.
Yeah, well, you'd have
isn't
a group.
Star Wars.
They use like a Marine ranking system. So when you were a key time, you were a scout. When you became a full time, you were a Marine.
Okay.
And then
they know they're fascists, though. Yeah. They know the Marines are fascists.
Then if you want,
did they not know that?
Oh, of course they did.
Okay.
Weird. Then trainee managers were squad leaders. Store managers were sergeants. Those that trained trainee managers were called veteran sergeants. Mm. It was just like a terminology they had because you had the Marine training file. It was called, and it was pretty robust. So when you went to these courses, you weren't there was no guarantee you were going to pass. If in fact they forced many mistakes on you to like. To test how you reacted to situations.
Wow.
So, you know.
Savage.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I think from that, I became more confident as a person and I was able to talk to people and, you know, balance out.
That's good.
Why this happened. And, you know, if you're in a confrontation, which I don't see anymore, when and has been witnessed by a close friend of both of ours, that when situations happen and they're upset, as opposed to continuing that conversation and making that person more upset and then continuing and making that person more upset, you need to walk away from it and let everything cool down. That used to be quite common. You know, you'd take cater the managerial conversation to the level of what's happening. If people are getting really angry and stressed, talk quieter. And then it just calmed it down. So none of that ever happens anymore, I don't think. I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't. I mean, I'm sure there's some managers out there that are bob on and know what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
But...
So you've got 8 tables.
Sorry, I went on a segue there.
True,
Sons.
True, no, it's okay. Yeah, so you've got 8 tables, lots of equipment. And then what we have is this thing called table bosses. So
Table
bosses. Ooh. Oh, let me tell you. So my girlfriend makes this joke all the time. So normally it's 2 commentators. Normally it's me and someone else. Because I'm also doing the tech at the same time, so this will make Pat really mad. But I'm also running the entire production while commentating.
Wow!
I'm not mad. I'm just in awe. how
spinning lots of plates there, by the way.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I asked myself this question earlier on last year. I was like, am I really only making content that like is consumable by me? So when I first started out doing live coverage of games, we did one game. But Warhammer games are fairly long. They take 3 hours, roughly. Mm. And so people would generally tune out. And there's only so much you could talk about, especially if like you don't have graphics to bring up or you don't have a lot of stuff. But then we moved on to doing 2 games at once. And then now, like, I probably wouldn't do a tournament, like, well, unless I have to, that's less than 4 games. Because the speed and pace, like the production, it's kind of like cricket, how cricket went from test match cricket to 2020.
Yeah.
And it exploded in popularity because it's more fast, more dynamic, more engaging. Yeah. And covering 4 games is really interesting because if you like...
There's always going to be a good bit somewhere.
Exactly.
That's exciting.
Yeah. Like, if you like World Eaters, for example, but they're not on the... dream, then you're gonna have to wait 3 hours.
Yeah,
if worldies are playing one army, or what's really fun sometimes is when worldies are playing one army and then worldies are playing another army.
Ooh.
And then you've got this kind of like nice dichotomy that you can jump between. And then for me, as someone talking through the process, there's so much to engage with. But so the 2 commentators, and then you have the table boss, and the table boss's job is to tell you everything that's happening because you don't want to disturb the players.
Mm.
Some live streams like War Games Live, they do stuff like where they mic up the players. I think that's competent enough, but they're not presenters.
No,
you have some hot mic issues, as you can imagine, which is like not family friendly. Like I don't ever swear when we do live coverage, so like people can watch it with their kids and stuff.
Yeah.
Which was like something fed back to me. It was like, Rob, I'd like to watch my kids stop swearing. I'm like, okay. All right, fine. So the table boss's job is to relay all the information. But also they fulfill a bunch of other roles. Sometimes they're like a little bit of a ref. But they're telling you the information.
Yeah.
So you're creating a story. Because a lot of like what a Warhammer game is what will happen.
Yeah.
What could happen.
Yeah.
And then what they're doing is you're telling you stories. So what we're doing is we're listening to the information live, and then we're like juggling the story as we go. And like rebuilding it or rechanging the tension points.
So sounds... Are you getting four tables worth of information in your ear at the same time then?
Well, World Championships 8, yeah.
Oh my God.
That sounds intense.
Yeah, that sounds incredibly complicated and difficult.
And you're changing all the camera angles and commentating at the same time.
Yeah.
Are you an Apache helicopter?
That's crazy.
I mean, I guess it is. Like, I mean, I'm super lucky. I've had loads of people who do it with me, and we've all like we've got better and better and faster, and more competent. Like, I would rather commentate on my own and have a good table boss rather than have another commentator.
Yeah.
So that's what a table boss
does. Yeah.
Then we got a cameraman at Worlds last year. It was John. Shout out to John, superstar. And John's job is just to he just has a steady rig, a camera, and it's just hooked in.
Yeah.
And then he just gets us more dynamic shots because
wicked.
Like for some reason people want that. It's wildly expensive.
Close ups of the miniatures and stuff like that.
Yeah, which is like they're like, oh, show me Angron. I wonder what Angron looks like. I'm like, have you got it? They're like, yeah. I'm like, well, look at it then. Like I don't know what you want. Like there's dice junkies. Do you know about dice junkies?
No. Oh, are they people that take dice?
No, dice junkies are people who just want to see dice roll.
Yes.
I swear you could film a game where you never showed a miniature, you just showed the dice.
Yeah.
And they're like best three hours of my life. Yeah. Like, oh, you rolled 4 sixes, amazing. Like, that's cool. I mean, everyone's got their own reason to want to watch it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, 8 tables, and then we normally have like an infield reporter, unless it was Luke, shout out to Luke. And Luke would run around and like do interviews, disturb people.
Yeah.
And then we'd film those games. And a table boss's job also is to not disturb the players too much.
Mm. Yeah.
That's also fairly important because they're sometimes competing to be the world champions.
Yes.
Which, even though there's no money on the line, it's just pride.
It's a big thing.
It's a big thing. Like we really dumbed down the coverage last year. Like. Yeah. Me and my friend Adam, who was doing the commentary with me, we nearly had a fight, which is not like a fist fight, like, but he was just like, what are you doing? He was looking at me. He's also like 25, and he was looking at me like I was an old moron. Like it was one of those times I was like, I am getting older, because that look is a look I've given to people. That is a bad look.
Well, the future is now, old man.
He was just like, what are you doing, old man? Stop this. Because I was like, okay, table one, Skaven. Skaven are rat men. Yeah, they like to do machinations. And he was looking at me like, if you don't start talking about the rules and saying Alpha Strike in 2 seconds, I'm going to shout at you. And I was like, that's fair. But then we talked about it during lunch, and he was amazing because he went straight from like, because it's hard because when you're the commentator, you have to be like the voice of authority. You've got other people listening. They're like, actually, that hits on a 3 Rob, not a 4. You're an idiot. Like, you know, you've got to be right.
Yeah.
And you've got to be talking about it. But yeah, I had to put my ego to the side. Because, and Adam did as well, and I got loads of love for him for doing it. He put his ego to the side, and he was like, their mums and dads are going to be watching. Their partners, their kids are going to be watching. They're not going to understand that the Seraphon bunker is... like the Seraphon castle is never going to get taken out by the Puskel Blightlord list. Like, you don't care right now. Like, it doesn't mean anything to you. But it's at that particular point in the meta in the game, it was vital. It was so integral to the... to the pairings, to the game, and every other element. But I was like, Nurgle makes you feel sick. Like, I was explaining what they did.
Yeah.
And I had to really dumb it down, which is weird because it was the highest skill level available.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think, like, I watch a little bit of F1 occasionally when it's on, if I'm not working on a weekend. And usually, you know, they always have commentating duos, but they have, oh, there's this specialist who does this. And then there's the guy that does the energy and says, wow, look at those cars driving off the start line. Amazing. and then
that's a legitimate job.
And then there's the other guy who's maybe not quite as enthusiastic, but he's just like, yes, they pressed the accelerator down, Stephen. Like, it's a dynamic. Like, yes. and it doesn't matter. It lowers the barriers for entry because I think it doesn't matter how much you know about F1 cars, but you have the guy that talks about the aerodynamics and why the Ferrari isn't doing particularly well because the engine's not as powerful and blah, blah, blah. And then the other guy being like, oh my God, an overtake. Whoa. and it works.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really good
one. But also that's something I've never I've watched a lot of like esports stuff behind the scenes, not as in like esports coverage or some. But I watch a lot of like esports, like how they build the commentary teams. And again, like self-taught. I don't know if I'm very good at it, if I'm honest. Like a lot of people are like, you do that. And I'm like, I do it. Like, you do, you know what I mean? You don't know. Like when you started presenting, it must have been like, I'm trying.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like,
keep going at it.
Just keep trying. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're getting incrementally better, like you said.
I don't know if that's true though. Like
that's well, you must be because you keep going to all these events, don't you? So
I think it's because no one else will do it. Like people are like, you pack yourself up in an aeroplane and travel across the world? I'm like, well, I mean, I haven't seen Sweden, so yeah, I'll go to Sweden. it's a win for me.
Yeah.
Someone could ask me to do it, and I would say no. Yes,
that's fair. Yeah. But if someone was offering to pay for you to fly to, I don't know, Australia, sit down and film them paint.
Oh, it would. Yeah. Oh, 100%.
There you go. Because like, that's within your wheelhouse.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I can. I don't think I fully understand how much goes into doing it, but I can appreciate just the sheer amount of effort.
The biggest issue is actually, and shout out to Tom, is the overlays. So that's one of the hardest parts.
Yeah.
So there's like me and Tom spent about 6 weeks, maybe a bit longer than that, just devving our overlay setup. So it's basically a website that like. So the Table Boss will input information into an app that's like drop down menu, like I can do it, like it's very easy. It's like plus 1 point, yeah, you're like, good, I got it. And then that updates the overlays, but not only does it update the overlays, it updates the website, the app, bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
So like it's like this fully formed thing, which is great, because again, if you had to have a tech person just inputting a score 8 times,
yeah,
it's very slow.
Insane.
Yeah.
Shall we get on some Patreon questions?
Yes, let's do that, because there's quite a few asking.
I apologize for talking too much.
No, that's why you're here. We want to listen to you, Rob.
It's
the second tired of it.
It's why we have guests on.
It's great being a guest, by the way.
I bet. Yeah,
wonderful.
No responsibility.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Just car crash now then.
So, I can't give the name for the first person because they're not sure if they're allowed to post publicly or not.
Oh, this is already mysterious.
I'll let you read between the lines on that one. Hey, Rob, been listening to The Honest War Gamer while doing Dawn Patrol with a baby every morning. Wanted to ask, what army would you choose purely on looks? Which one purely on background and which one purely on rules?
Looks would be Gene Sealer Colts, because they're great.
Yep.
Although, I previously would have said background, but then my favourite now YouTuber called Dawnster made the top 5 satirical armies of Warhammer, and I watched that on Wednesday, Tuesday with the stream, and I was like, oh no, my life's over. Like, it's a long story. So, Gene Sealer Colts for looks. Background. So you can't pick any of them for background?
No.
Because they're all evil.
Yeah.
Like, so there's none for background.
What about orcs? They just want to fight.
Yeah, but they're like representative of like working class culture in a negative light. Like,
yeah.
What about Tyranids? They just want to eat. I just want to get every.
They're about rampant consumerism. Like, it's it's all messed up, man.
Yeah.
I want to know all of them now.
Pass me a biscuit.
All right. Can I have some water? Is that okay? I'm
gonna
be honest. there's loads of problems. The biggest problem is Royal Light Space Marines are ironically bad, right? Like they're ironically bad. Satirically bad, right? But like every time they have to win. So like whenever there's an uprising, you're like, but don't worry, the Space Marines will win. And you're like, so like the bad, it's like they're more bad. And I'm like, Gene Sealer Colts, like, well, not Gene Sealer Colts, let's do Chaos. Chaos are more bad. I'm like, you can't get more bad than fascist bad. Like, there's no more bad. It's all bad. They're like, well, there's Imperium won. And I was like, that's not good. Like, it's not good.
Yeah.
Where's the lad who just wants to make a coffee shop and just have a nice time? Let him win.
I watched some of your Necromunda stream recently where you're talking about the different gangs. And I'd made the same joke about... corpse grinders just caring about the environment. They really like recycling.
Because that's the most, because Necromunda is actually the most because they're like, I'm not taking part in the war machine, sure, I'll grind up a few corpses, yeah, but like I'm recycling.
Yeah.
Like it's actually kind of like there's a noble bright version of Necromunda that you can like theorize in your head, but then they murder lots of people, so you kind of like,
oh yeah, I mean,
then just, everyone's bad. So they're only murdering bad people.
It's but they're usually gangers that have had a gang fight that tried to kill each other anyway, so they're getting put into a grinder to feed all those kids so they can go and work in the factory. Oh.
Yeah, see? None of it. Yeah, background, none.
Yeah. purely on rules.
Which game system?
Anything you like.
Oh, I'll pick Age of Sigmar, and currently I'll mechanically pick what's really engaging. I quite like, I'm just going to, like, fan favourite, I'll just say Gits. There you go. Really? Everyone in the chat, like, he's copped out there. I have. Well done, me. I've made that easy for myself.
Nice. And then it says, in addition, brackets, teehee.
Oh, no.
Where do you land on the Jade Obelisk in the Disciples of Tzeentch army?
It's the new Warcry dudes.
Yeah. Stop trying to make it work is what I say. Like, stop trying. It's like people who wear, like, I don't want to say anything rude. I mean, like fedoras. They're just not going to work, are they, at this point? So don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I see people wear fedoras and I'm like, have you seen the memes?
Yeah, like, you've seen the memes.
Yeah.
Like, maybe, like, you know, just don't, it won't work, so stop trying to make it work. That's Jade Obelisks.
Yeah. Yeah, I see.
Get the fedora of Age of Sigmar.
Nice.
Nice.
All right, okay. More. Chuck some more in.
Yeah. That was one that was in our messages. I had to read that out separately. Okay. Ah, so something. What do you recommend for people that are looking to getting into 3D printing?
Ooh.
A 3D printer.
Yeah.
Next.
Seems easy. It's an amazing ecosystem. If you, like, I know, I'm sure, because I know that you, like, while at Games Workshop Heresy, you actually were engaged in other hobby.
I know. It was called Poor Hobby by many people.
Yeah, but are you yet to be in the 3D print world?
Oh, we have donated stuff that's 3D printed. I've been painting lots of stuff. I've got hold of some Star Wars stuff. We would like to get a 3D printer at some point.
Yeah,
there's a guy who wants to scan our heads so we can get 3D printed versions of our heads at different scales, so we can stick them on different scale models.
Perfect.
I want a Chris Peach as a Napoleonic red coat as well as a Napoleonic Frenchman.
Perfect.
I want Chris Peach as a Joy Toy fascist.
Oh,
so painted with rainbows. Obviously.
Get a 3D printer to just indulge your own ego.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing. I don't know if this is like the. The negative of Chris Beach is whenever I make an army, I have to put myself into that army.
That says a lot, Beach. I'm not sure what it says.
But it means everyone sacrifices themselves around me and I just like, I've died again. And I always come up with like a weird name for my guy. You know that time when I had that dark Drakari, dark elder, yes. Archon that took out a knife and killed a knight.
That was great. Knight. Great yeah. moment again.
But
again.
Also killed the objective at the same time.
Yes, that was fine.
That was Piach the Impaler.
So my follow-up question is though, is you much into like the ecosystem of like the 3D designers and like any of that stuff?
So who, like the people that go around and...
No, the people who have Patreons where they design stuff.
So I've got a few that I'm into, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Right, perfect, yeah. Because yeah. like it's easily the most... I don't know, like unbrainwashed I've ever been. Like every month there's just a bunch of designers who create the most incredible art ever.
Yeah.
And you're like, cool, that's great.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like as a miniature hobbyist, I'm very weirded out by people who say that they like minis but don't like 3D designs.
Oh yeah, there's so good stuff out there.
There's such good stuff. Yeah. And it's so exciting because I like minis.
Yeah.
Like it seems like some people think it's anti Games Workshop and I'm I just like more, like I like minis. And someone's making more minis, so I like more.
I mean,
minis.
There's no different than going to Salute each year and buying like hassle-free models or crooked dice models or, you know, getting some Perry stuff. It's just like you go to their Patreon and you go, I really like this range of Arabian flying carpet cavalry. Can I have all of them, please?
Talked about that today. That is an issue.
I've got some cream for that.
Oh, you have to be so careful, don't you? Okay.
The carpet burns, mate. That's what hurts the most.
Would love to know what Rob is most proud of in his creative career.
Oh, no. I think it was when I streamed for like 500 days during lockdown.
Mm.
Like, it wasn't particularly something that I can point to as a singular thing, but I started streaming like just before lockdown got announced. I was like, oh, I reckon this might go on for a couple of days. I'll stream every day. And then it was 550 days later. I streamed every day for 550 days. We did it in a row.
That's dedication.
Well, I also lost my nightclub job, so like I didn't have anything else to do.
Yeah.
So like we streamed every day. And I and while it was a really good journey for me as a creator, I learned to be more relaxed in myself, which was nice.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So we've never done streaming. It's been something on our radar for a while. And we're like, we'll hopefully, barring any you know, something terrible happening, we'll hit 50,000 subscribers soon. So I think we should probably do one.
Yeah. I'd love to do that. Okay. I used to like it. So
live streaming.
Yeah.
So fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So fun.
Although Slapchop has been the subject of internet drama, have you made any positive connections in the wider content creator / hobby space?
Oh, the syndicate. Shout out to you.
It's a secret group and we have special meetings.
It's just like some of them reach out to me and they're like, hello. And I'm like, get out. Like Brent was in my chat today, like Goobertown Hobbies. He was just in my chat. I was like, get out, Brent. He was like, well, I'm watching. I'm like, you're not allowed to watch. This is not for you. Go. Like, go. Go to wherever you lot go.
I love
not
Brent.
Here.
He's great.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. Super nice guy. But like, they messaged me and I'm like, leave me. Like, I've got one, like, I've got loads of mates. But like, look at me showing off.
All right, Jesus.
Yeah, all right. But my mate Nathan, who I love to bits, Nathan Prescott, like, I'm like, everyone's like, oh, don't you want to know them? And I'm like, oh, I just hang out with Nathan, it's fine. Like, it's not really bothered. Yeah. So, whatever, yeah. But loads of nice people.
Fair enough. And then it says, also, what would you say to the boys in the room to tempt them to try streaming?
Oh, to tempt them to try streaming?
I guess you just said, it's great. And we've gone, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
potentially.
It's super engaging. I use it as a... imagine this, but just get 200 more people in.
Yeah, yeah, like, absolutely, yeah.
It's chaotic.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like most of them are going to try and find a way to trip you up.
Yeah, used to get that a lot.
I think that's part of the fun,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah. You were like, let's read this question.
Get Peachy to swear. Come on, we can do it.
Also, just so you know, it's wildly different to doing it from Games Workshop.
Oh yeah,
I bet. Because the people, there's just a lot of people who watch a Games Workshop stream and they don't see you as a human being. They only see you as a Games Workshop representative.
Yeah, yeah.
And they want anything that they can do to get that shine to be on them.
Mm.
Like, they want that because it's the thing that makes them happy, and that's super fair. Like, that's what makes them happy. But the thing I like about streaming when you're an independent is the people who are there generally like you.
Mm.
And that's actually quite nice.
Yeah.
That's actually quite a nice thing. Yeah, like, they like you, not the thing that you represent.
Yeah.
That's fun.
A really interesting way of putting it. I thought about it. Yeah.
Or they hate watch you.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to the hate watchers.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait for some hate watchers.
See, like, say, like, when RIP Jeremy Kyle, well, to his show, is you'd be like, oh, I hate Jeremy Kyle.
But I'm going to watch it.
But I'm going to watch it and I'm going to hate it for every second that I watch it and I can't stop.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. This first one starts off quite nicely. I love Rob.
Oh.
Okay.
That was me, by the way.
Yeah.
It's actually me.
Quite apt.
I need one positive one.
Yeah. Quite apt, as he was just name dropped. Where is Nathan? And why is he not here with you today?
Well, who knows where he is? I think he's actually at the venue fixing. He's a builder and he put a hot water sink in for me the other day and it leaked. And he was like, oh no, oh, it's leaking. Oh my God. And I was like, you're going to fix it? He's like, at some point.
He's Zimbabwean, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. And there's a couple of people who like have been so supportive when I started doing everything. And Nathan was one of those people. And he's like, he's amazing because he shouldn't ever have been like put in front of a camera. Like, you're really personable, you're very articulate, and you're very skilled at what you do.
I wouldn't say I'm articulate, but thanks for the rest.
But Pat Simile, yeah, like, has got lots to say, and you can see, like, Nathan is one of my best friends, and he's just the best. But, like, he should never have been allowed in front of a camera. my favourite trick, and also if you're watching, please do follow at Nath Prescott on Twitter. It's the only shout-out I'll make.
I'm going to have it flash up on the screen.
With two T's. Did you happen to see, they didn't release an Age of Sigmar FAQ a couple of Christmases ago. So I just stood outside Games Workshop with a sign saying, release the FAQ. Did you see this picture?
No.
It went very viral.
Nice.
But then it said, release the FAQ. And at the bottom it said, add me. And it just said, at Nath Prescott, because like my dream is just to get, like, he hates it. I'm like, just tweet him anything,
get him a following.
Yeah, but because he's just like he's just a dude from Zimbabwe who's really smart, really clever, really funny, super nice. But he's just like not built for TV. I'm like, oh, Gits just came out. I was like, Nathan, how do you feel about new Gits? He's like, yeah, pretty good. I was like, anything else? He's like, yeah, still good. Like, I'm like, we've got 3 hours left, mate. But then on the other side of that, like, we do a Monday show. And then I'm like, Nathan, you were at a tournament this weekend. He's like, oh, yeah, yeah. I'm like, okay. I was like, tell us about your games. He's like, no problem. And like, and it, my Monday show isn't the most popular Age of Sigmar show, but it's a popular Age of Sigmar show. And then you have this beautiful man regale you with his games for like 3 hours. Sorry, a game. Yeah, right? He's like telling you the story, how he's got Spiker doing Mesmerize or whatever it is for like 45 minutes. And at the end of that, long, twisted conversation about this battle report, he goes, yeah, it was a draw. I was like, oh my God. And it's so avant-garde.
Yeah, yeah.
It should never be allowed to be on TV. Like, people are like, people message me like, when's a Nathan Prescott battle report happening again? I'm like, I don't know if I can handle it. Why do you want it? And they're like, because it's the best. I'm like, it is the best. But it's never going to be, Pat, I need you to know, it's never going to make me any money. Like, you guys, like, earlier on, you were like, yeah, so we're doing this, we're going to make this many videos. Peachy might learn editing. I was like, that's great, you guys are really motivated. Yeah, Nathan's like, here's 4 hours on a battle report, and I'm like, I guess that's my content this week. There you go. No question about what the algorithm is. I don't know if it needs to be 5 minutes or 8 minutes or whatever. It's going to be 4 hours, and the internet will break 3 times.
Nice.
That's my content.
Amazing.
Please do tune in.
Please follow Nathan.
Yeah.
That's my takeaway. What do you think the next big revolution in mini painting will be?
Oh my God.
Chop slap.
Yeah.
You put all the contrast on first grey, then you dry brush it white, then you spray it black.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect.
You 3D chess move right there. That's,
wow. Wow.
Got it all there, mate.
Yeah, buying it off eBay. Fully painted.
Oh dear me,
that's good. That's the system.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I was gonna make my next video was gonna be like Slapchop 2.0, and it's just super bougie, and it's just a guy just drinking coffee for 15 minutes, and then at the end of it, he just gets a delivery of his pro painted like Siege Studios minis.
Yeah,
<He's>,
yeah.
And he's like, I save myself hours yeah. by just paying for it.
That'd be great. Like, rent out a stately home.
just really high production value with someone relaxing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then in it comes.
Oh, you have your dressing gown on and like a dog at your feet, open fire.
Well, that's the pro version.
I'm here for it. I'm here for it. That's great. Have you ever thought about starting historicals?
Oh, God. Get out, Joe. No, but also obviously, like, we all have a future, you know, understand that, right? We're all either going to become historical gamers or we're going to be train set collectors. That's the only two pathways available to us. Like,
I did not know this was the only two options. I mean, I already do one of
you
them.
You already so. Do.
Historical.
Yeah, of course.
See, there we go.
But I did that before Workshop.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's how I got into Games Workshop, was historicals.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, what did you start with? What made you want it, other than the TV show Sharp?
So I used to do it with my dad.
Oh,
and I used to get loads of like plastic toys, and we started building like a American Civil War. I had Union, he had Confederates. I wanted the goodies, he wanted the baddies. That's obviously the limit at my knowledge at the time. Was like, I want to be the goodies, you can be the baddies. He was like, I'll take the grey ones, you have the blue ones. We started building up armies, he started making a board. We never actually got around to playing it. It was the process of just building it. But then I got into Sharp, so I started doing stuff with that. And it wasn't until probably Workshop that I actually got full into proper rule systems and doing things like Black Powder and bolt action, stuff like that.
Oh, really?
So I was still doing it when I was at Workshop because I didn't care, because there was lots of people there that did it as well.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Like, the idea that they only like one thing is so weird.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Okay, amazing.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. I don't want to interrupt. It's wonderful.
Pat's like, I'm going to put all the trains that are in my Amazon basket out of my basket.
Yeah, same. I was like, did you guys know that Hornby just released like a new kind of train? It's like a different scale and everything. Mental. Anyway.
The fact that you know that now worries me.
Yeah, no. It was, What did I see? My sister sent me something on TikTok. When it was like some guy with his model always, and he just drives his little train. You're following it around. You're like, oh, this is quite nice and serene. And his cat's just like laying on the track, and he just plows into it. And obviously, it doesn't do anything because it's tiny.
You just remind me. I think I did both. I'm going the opposite way around. I think I started off with trains and then historicals because I used to have a model train set.
There you go.
And I used to get my British commandos to blow it up because it had loads of German tanks on the back.
Oh,
nice.
So are you kind of doing your toy journey backwards? I think you're going to be like a geriatric pensioner with an action man.
I already have action men, so women.
I'm going to shut up.
I'm going the wrong way.
Maybe you're just like the Renaissance hobbyist. That's what it is. All of them.
I've got a whole load of Lego.
I've got all of it covered.
I've got rules for playing Lego as war games as well.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, you just use existing rule systems. Just don't use Lego. Star Wars Legion, Lego, done it. Yeah, it's great.
Amazing. And you could have all the Star Wars figures.
Like, and you can take the heads off when you decapitate them.
There's a Patreon I subscribe to where he just does all of the miniatures, but as like they're printouts, so paper printouts, but you stick them together and they're like, and they're little 3D... Like there's a 3D Custodes.
Oh, right. Like
it's awesome.
That's super mad.
Cool. Oh, yeah, it's really, really cool. Really clever.
That sounds so cool. My first D&D miniatures were just bits of paper that you fold in half, and it's like, this side's the front of the goblin, and that side is the back of the goblin. And you just happen... It was great.
Perfect.
Yeah. And then I found that people call it paw hammer.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So there we go.
Harsh.
Wow.
I'd like to thank Rob for the daily streams he did during the pandemic to keep in touch and keep spirits up. Those were the highlight of some very tough days for me.
Oh.
I'd love to know some golden bits of advice for anyone looking to attend their first tournament.
Take pens is the first one. You can never have enough pens. Take some water. That's where my phrase "stay hydrated" comes from. It's not my phrase, but like generally, I advise people to stay hydrated. Drink lots is also something that's really valuable as well. And then just don't worry. Just go and make five friends. There you go, pats on it. Just go and make five friends. Like, it's really easy. My friend Simon, I mean, I have to call him my friend because he's a lecturer over at DMU. When we played last September, I went down to London for an event and we played a game and he went, "Hey, Rob, it's nice to meet you." I was like, "Nice to meet you." He's like, "Can we be friends?" And I was like, "If you want." He's like, "Yeah." And then we shook hands. He's like, "We're friends now." And I was like, "Great. This is really nice." Like, I was like, "Now I know where we're at. I'm like, do you want me to call you?" He's like, "So we just changed numbers immediately after the game." And I was like, "It's great." And now I do that all the time. And then my other friend, Jacob, who's wonderful, he always high-fives people when their dice rolls go well.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just really, like, he and loads of other people are just there to just be like, "Oh," it's like, "Dude, you just blow up my tanks." Like,
see, you've changed my outlook on tournament.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, just by this literal hour we're having here. Because my experiences have never been that. And I've tried to make it as engaging and enjoyable from my point of view. And I've had some really good, like you say, like, you know, you have like the one or two here and there, but you have some really good ones. But I've never experienced like people just wanted to talk to you and high five you for doing stuff like that. So yeah, it's interesting.
But then that's also the energy, like, not you, and I'm not saying that you bring that energy, but like, and sometimes like I bring that energy, people don't care.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Like I was in Detroit.
I think maybe December. I worked too hard to try and get people to like me. Bring in the sherry and the two wine glasses. Like, yeah.
There's no way the man that puts himself in every single army is conscious of his own existence.
No, not at all. But I'm always bold as well. So I've accepted it every time.
Every time.
Every time. Just a beard.
If you could have a haircut, what haircut would it be?
Yours. I'm going to skin you later.
Do you know what this is?
It's a mohawk, isn't it?
It is now. I only cut it in last night, so...
Ooh.
Yeah, because it used to be my hair. When we met, I had that haircut.
I can only do it sideways now. Yeah.
The inverse mohawk.
The inverse mohawk. The no-hawk.
Oh, dearie me. I don't understand this, but I'm assuming you will. It seems like it's more of a statement. Whichever one Shilly is wins.
Oh, God.
And then someone replied, "Shilly is my hero." And it has two hearts.
I have... Number one, I love Muppets Christmas Carol. And Jim Henson was a genius.
Oh, amazing. Because there was another question that said, who won in a fight, Muppets or Sesame Street? Please give reasons and justify your answers.
They would never fight because they're too pure. So don't try to bring that evil into the world.
Yes, Simon.
That's Simon. That's number one. And there's a YouTuber I really like called Some More News. And he has a deranged puppet who speaks for a certain... type of person, And so I have the Honest Wargamer is as a title, while a tad aggressive, is meant to be that I'm just going to tell you what I think. We don't take any advertisement. Mm. Like, I've never done a single ad spot ever. I just, if I like a thing, I'm like, I bought this thing and I liked it. Like, that's what I do. Like, so the only way I've ever made money, and everything I've ever made, is free. So if you like me, you subscribe on Twitch or you subscribe on Patreon. That's all I've ever done. Mm. Or you donate money. And like, so I've never done anything behind a paywall. And I don't judge anyone that does, because I think that there's some real value in getting advertising, especially ethical advertising. Like, if you're like, I really believe in this thing that I'm advertising, then it's just a win-win. Yeah. You're advertising something that you believe in and you're being paid, everyone wins. Hmm. So I think that that's very valid. And there's lots of creators that do that. And I think that's great. But there are some people who are a little bit, well, I'm not really, anyway, I have a puppet called Shilly. And Shilly sometimes speaks for me, or speaks his own truth, which is sometimes different to my truth.
Okay.
So I have a deranged alter ego puppet called Shilly, who
fantastic.
We don't talk about much.
Okay, brilliant. So,
that's a very rare thing that came out.
Wargamers is so weird.
I think it's just I'm a bit weird. If
I'm honest. You're not the only wargamer that has puppets.
That's true. Do they use them to talk to people? Who knows?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, there we go. Right. Shout out to the Army Masterclass video series he's been doing. I've been learning a lot. Will there be a deployment masterclass? And are there other YouTube video series he plans on doing in the future?
Yeah, I'm just deployments probably next week after, and then the one I'm currently doing is like keywords. Mm. So like, we're going through archetypes and unit roles, because a lot of people don't really like, if I say that's a castle build, you'd be like,
what does that mean?
There isn't a wall there, Rob.
Yeah.
Like, what does that mean? So I've been trying to break those down a little bit more for people, like taking some really high level stuff and dropping it down, but also as a process for me to learn. Like, it's been really good. Like, when I describe stuff on the table, sometimes it's quite hard to, if I say, oh, look, he's using some defense in depth, you'd be like, oh, what? But like, you know, I've learned a lot as well going through that process. I actually wrote a book like 4 years ago called a workbook, and it's just for people who wanted to get into wargaming so that they can just go through the process of just being like learning a little bit. And so, yeah, the one I'm currently doing is on keywords. And so then, because you hear loads of terms, like, what's a screen? Mm. Like, what's a screen? Well, anything's a screen if it's going to win you the game. You know, like, what's an alpha strike? What's a beta strike? Like, you know, there's a bunch of stuff. So I'm just going to do a video on that, and then deployment's the next one.
So some of that, like, actually based on, like, historical stuff, because, like, a screen would be, like, you get your skirmishes out the front.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly. A screen's a really easy one to understand, especially if you've done any, like military history stuff. Just gets the guys out the front. Yeah. Why do you have a screen? Well, because one of the YouTube comments made me lose my mind once. Someone's like, I've been playing Daughters of Cain, which is a shooting castle build. It just shoots really well at range. Yeah. And he's like, every time people charge my guys and kill them, and I'm like, just responded like, put something in front of it. You just put dudes in front of it, and then they'll charge those dudes instead. Like, it's really easy. But to some people, they've never, because there aren't really many resources available. It's odd, because you would kind of think it would come out of GW, because you think iteratively that they would go through the process of producing the rules, then they would understand the game state enough to then produce stuff off the top of that. But we know that's not true, which is sad. But anyway, so, and then deployment's an interesting one as well. There's loads of stuff that I'm going to try and do.
Yeah. Awesome. Any that guy stories from your past while wargaming?
Oh, not really. One really springs to mind, some Italian fellow who played 220 orcs. It was, all of my bad experiences have been at Warhammer World. But oddly, every bad experience I've had, like, and I used to play at Warhammer World a lot at the events, every bad experience I had was at Warhammer World. That's not a criticism of Warhammer World, and the new event manager, Steve Renz, wonderful person, really great. Like, it's never reflective of the TO, tournament organizer. But like, that was just a really bad experience where we never got past turn two.
No, right. Like, right.
And that was because he was just moving 220 orcs one at a time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I was like, okay. Like, and I was like, I was getting more and more frustrated. Eventually I was like, no. It was a really good story where John Bracken once, this was in the end times, John Bracken told me that, like, my Gal Moraz, this is when Karl Franz had descended.
Yeah.
Gal Moraz, I had a sword on my guy and not the hammer. And he was like, that's Rob, like your opponents have complained that it's a hammer, it's a sword, not a hammer. And I was like, well, John, actually, technically, it's the essence of Galmaraz. Yeah, which is why I did the sword. And John was like, I know, I'm sorry, but you can't do it. So I just like looked at them and I just snapped the sword off in front of them. And they just tabled him. So that'll teach him. but the answer is no. I've had loads of wonderful stories, like loads. I know I've been a bit long. I'll share one. Yeah. Like one story. So like loads of wonderful experiences playing games, all funny, all fun, crying with laughter, having a great time. So there's one experience that made me like, I never even thought about. So I was playing at the local Games Workshop in Nottingham, and I played this guy, and I won't mention him just in case he doesn't want me to say. And they were doing like some silly local campaign. I'm like a tournament gamer at this point. Yeah. So I'm just like 2000 points match play. Let's go. Yeah. But they were like, you bring some dudes and like, we'll do a story. And I was like, all right, let's do it. Let's see what it's like. Let's go. Have some. So I went in and I'd done Valton, the mini, the ogre lady, and then the ogre captain. And my story was, and that was all I could fit in the points or whatever it was. And my story was, is that the ogre captain and the ogre lady were brother and sister, and Valton was actually dating the ogre lady.
Oh.
And at the start of each game, you would roll, like, I would give you a dice, because everyone else, because they were new and not didn't really understand anything, they were like trying really hard. And I was like, I don't care. So like, I was like, here's a dice. And if you roll a six at the start of the game, then the ogre captain will find out and immediately will join your team. Right. And then like, and then I played this, and then like they would do it. And we, I played this guy, and first turn that happened. And then he was like, oh, I'm really depressed. Like that you've betrayed me, Valton, my brother. Like, cause they were like best friends as well. So it was like a triangle.
Nice.
And then, And then like, he was like, oh, Jort, I don't even care. So he like ran off into the forest. And then he spent the rest of the game trying to like, murder himself. Yeah. But he kept missing. Right, right, and we were in hysterics, like, and it was, it was an amazing game, but I didn't really. But then I went on to have a few other games that were really fun, and I didn't really think about it much, because you don't, right? And then a couple of years later, same young man was in my club because I was DJing at the time, and he was like, "Oh, Rob, I'm moving away. Is there any chance that I could?" Talk to you? And I'm like, dude, I'm super busy, I'm DJing, there's like 300 people here, like, no. He's like, come on, just like, and then I was like, okay, no problem. So I let someone else do it for me, and I went outside. I was like, I've got like 3 minutes, like, what can I help you with? And he was like, so do you remember that game we played all that time? I was like, oh, yeah, it was really fun. He was like, so my mum had died the day before, and I pretty much decided I was going to kill myself that day. And then we went in and and we played this game, and I thought, well, I'll just keep living. And I didn't really, anyway, I was like, well, you can have more than 3 minutes now.
Wow. I mean,
yeah. So like, but the takeaway for me from that was, is you never really know what's happening in those games.
Yeah.
And you never really know where people are at. And like, and I went in there with a good attitude. Like, and you know, like, but I didn't think playing a stupid story would make someone be that happy.
Yeah.
And it's just something I've been really conscious of ever since.
Yeah.
Like, sure, those guys exist. But on the other end, there's a whole bunch of people that are just trying to make a connection and be happy.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, what else is the point of being alive?
Yeah. I mean, it's something that I try. I've never had that experience, and that is pretty powerful, to be fair. But everything you do has a reaction, right? Everything you say, someone will take, and that's why I'm always trying to be positive with people. I never try to be rude. I always try to be kind.
Yeah.
And there's days where you struggle, where you're like, I'm really trying here, mate. But
I'm a dick.
Because you just don't know, and you know you probably really helped that guy that day.
Yeah, but like, I'm not a hero. Like, I was just a dude playing Warhammer, is my point.
And you weren't conscious of it at the time, but regardless, every action has a reaction, right?
Yeah, like, and so, like, and that's the thing. That's why I do this, and I don't make lots of money. Mm. And, like, you know, like, I'm always like, Rob, you can do this when you're 50. Like, you need to get a job.
what is an pension?
Like, you need to do something. Like, anyway, so, like, but I'm always, like, I'm a huge advocate for people playing games with each other, because it's the same reason I'm a huge advocate for just sitting down and talking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It's a great way and a medium of people just sharing their experience with each other, and that's wicked. Yeah. So, like, it's good.
That's awesome. On that poignant note, and with 4% left on one of my batteries.
Nailed it.
Yeah, I like, there's some other silly questions, but after that, I think I don't want to cheapen it, you know? That was awesome.
Oh, we found the title for our thumbnail, which is We Make Rob Sims Cry.
Slap chop, make Rob cry.
Just go from the first question to the last response. Yes.
I'm going to clickbait the fuck out of you.
Wow. Wow.
No, super appreciate you coming on. Oh, no. I think we'll be having you again, because there's loads we want to talk about.
I mean, there's so much we didn't get through. That was awesome.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah I'm long-winded. Mate. No. You can't cover a three-hour game of Warhammer and not be long-winded, let me tell you.
This is why we're called Sidetrack now, I reckon, as opposed to just the chat.
Yeah, the running joke is this is called Sidetracked. Yeah,
we have so many conversations, like Jeff will ask a question and I'll start answering it, then we'll just go off for an hour talking about something else, and eventually get back, maybe, if we're lucky, to the original question.
I think a chat asked me, like, what Warhammer was, like, 7 years ago, and I still just not answered the question. one day I'll answer.
Yeah. Well, what do we say to each other now? Skip to the end.
Skip to the end. It's an old spaced thing.
Both analogy. Have a habit of being like, I mean, I found myself doing it this morning after you told me. It's like, you asked me this question. Well, I'm going to start off 3 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And this happened, and that, but that's not important. And
I do it too often. I just start the life. Yeah. Like, when I was at school, and it's all about, like, what happened when I brought some bread yesterday.
See, and we tried to end, and we got sidetracked.
Yeah, I say already. Yeah, we're doing it.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
No, thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for coming on. Insight into the different elements of the hobby is really fantastic to learn about.
It's open my eyes.
And I know nothing about anything, so hearing people talk passionately about what they like is, I love it. It's wonderful. So thank you very much for giving up your time.
My pleasure.
And we'd love to see you on again soon.
And I made your tea properly as well.
It was lovely. It was a great tea. Thank you.
This guy and his tweets.
What, milk last?
Oh, yeah, he was just like, anyone that puts their milk in first should be shot. Unless it's like ancient porcelain or China. Well,
no, this is it. You only put the milk in first if it's in a teapot, right?
China. It has to be China, because it cools the bone china down. Because if you put hot tea straight in, it cracks. And then you put the milk in, the hot tea cools, warms up the milk. But if the milk's in first, it cools down the hot tea. So that's why bone china has to have the milk in first.
Me and my girlfriend have moved in together recently. I'm super happy about that.
Congratulations.
I've been making lots of cups of tea, too many probably. And I've been going through the process of, like, learning what cups of tea she likes, like, you know, to a degree. Turns out she just wants horrible tea. She just wants, like, the tea bag never to touch the water, basically.
But
loads of milk and loads of sugar. Yeah. And she's like, oh, yeah, this is right. And I'm like, no, it's just hot milk.
That camera's literally dead, but these two are still going.
Sorry, we'll stop.
No, it's fine. I was going to say, my girlfriend said to me this morning, she was like, love is making tea for someone the wrong way.
Yes. Heartbroken. Yes, that's great. T-shirt, get that on the store. coming soon from the painting phase.
Well, thank you very much, Rob.
Thank you.
Hit like and subscribe, and hit all the other buttons we got at the bottom as well.
Wonderful. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye. Ring the bell. Ling, 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 ling.